Hello, my fellow Americans. You're listening to the Let Freedom Ring with Ron Tanarello, pastor and patriot, and thank you for tuning in today. We've been talking about America's Christian history, and I guess we're coming down to, is America really a Christian nation? I believe that we've set out enough in front of you to know that it was in its foundings. It was built upon a Christian ethic, moral, and quite frankly, it remains that way for most Americans today. We judge right from wrong. We think some of the things that are happening in our nation right now are absolutely off the wall, and we should. After all, whose laws are we following? And what happened? Well, let's back up just a little bit, and that is to the case of that appeared before the Supreme Court of Holy Trinity Churches versus the United States, 143 U.S. 471. That court, after mentioning various circumstances, added these and many other matters which may be noted. In fact, a volume of unofficial declarations to the mass organic utterances that this is a Christian nation. See, the case was being tried by a group of people called Americans United. Quite frankly, I don't know that you can really call everybody an American because they live in this country. You have to think about something else. What is an American? What precisely defines us as a people? In times past, we were defined as a righteous nation, even in the days of Teddy Roosevelt. Kind of interesting, there was a series on Netflix called, I think it was Sunshine Man, and it was about what was taking place. It was kind of a historical thing and drama that they mixed up, but there's one place in that movie which really impressed me, and that was the Japanese had actually teamed up with the Americans, and they were attacking the Koreans. And the Koreans were ill-prepared. They were valiant. They really were, but they didn't have weapons that could stand against the superior force of the Americans and the Japanese. And it was primarily an American operation. And when they got to where they surrendered, killed them and surrendered them, some of them survived. They surrendered. There was no other thing they could do. The Japanese guy wanted them all killed. And the American captain in charge of that said, no, we will not kill them. These are brave men that have fought for their country. We are a righteous nation. We will not kill these men who were valiant. And they sent them home. Now, it's kind of a crazy thing because, but the whole point being that that's how we were viewed as a people. We had morals. We had ethics. Did we ever make mistakes? Of course we did. You always have somebody in the crowd that, let's think of it this way. There's a sense where if we think of ourselves as a Christian nation, we can think of ourselves as, you know, maintaining good moral conduct. But on the other hand, you have to realize that being a Christian nation, we also will understand man as naturally depraved. And you just can see what's happening in our country today. Look at the kind of things that are taking place where right is wrong and wrong is right. But when you start looking at it, you realize that it's a power grab. And here we are, a Christian nation, and now we have to make a stand someplace. We've got to stand for Christ. I'm not going to say stand for this party or that party, although there is a significant difference between the two major political parties in the country. At least there's a significant difference in their platforms. But you can't trust the platform. You have to look at the individual. Do they adhere by this platform? And quite frankly, that's where it gets tough, where you have to pay attention to what's happening, or you got to have somebody you can trust to tell you something. And today is very hard, very difficult to find anybody you can trust. That's just a fact. You can't get the right news. Some people say, well, do you believe in fake news? Of course I believe in fake news. I see it every day. I see things happen, and I see it reported, and what's happened and what's reported is two different things. You have to realize that major networks, all of them, and major cable networks as well, And even although I may watch Fox News, I have to tell you that I have to watch them too. I mean, they have some guys on there too that are not necessarily what I would call people that hold to an American ethic. And that American ethic would have been a Christian ethic. Remember in the last, the election, first election with Barack Obama, and he was running against McCain at the time. And if you follow that, what was the thing he said about the people in Pennsylvania? They cling to their guns and Bibles. Well, what's that supposed to mean? Think about it. What in heaven's name is that supposed to mean? Is that a bad thing? And then you look down on people like that because they believe the word of God? They, you know, if the only thing you had in the word of God, looking from the Old Testament going into the New, was the prophecies that were given, and you see the fulfillment of them, the Bible itself proves itself. You don't have to have some genius get in there and say, well, let me take this apart. And there's a lot of criticism, but when you think about it, what are they criticizing? They don't want God. Why would you want God? People want to say, well, I'm going to be free. And that is the whole premise of secularism, of progressivism. The idea that if it is religious, then it is binding. If it is spiritual, it is binding. If it is Christian, if it is Bible, then it can't be any good. Why? Because it puts a limit on them. Well, who's going to put the limit on people? Let's face it, we do need some limits. How fast would everybody be traveling? Well, I drive, I have a long ride to work. So I'll put it to you this way. I get on that highway, and if I would do the speed limit, it would be like I was standing still. I'm not saying that I don't do the speed limit. I don't want to confess that I go over the speed limit. But let's just say that at times I get carried away. And like anybody else, I'm 5 miles over the limit at least. And even at that, I'm getting passed up by car after car. It's just the nature that we have as people. But back to what kind of a people are we? What is an American? If I were to define it by our founding fathers, an American would have to have a Christian ethic. An American would have a belief in the divine providence that formed this country and in the Creator. And they would also have a belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that doesn't mean that they were evangelicals or that they all were going to heaven, but I'm just telling you, that was the standard that they held to. Our laws were based on that. I can go back to Harry Truman and see some of his comments on America. He made it very clear to the Pope that America was a Christian nation. And he also talked about and encouraged people to read the Bible because he said, from it is where we get our laws, from Leviticus, from St. Paul. And he went on with that. Now, I'm not telling you how old I am, but let me just say this. I was a kid when Harry Truman was the president, and I was old enough. I probably was 10, 11 years old because I know that I was going to the movies by myself at that time. And we'd have that weekly news thing that they did real that they called it in the movies. But anyway, we see here that the nation was, and the Supreme Court declared the nation to be a Christian nation. And let me read a couple of other things here that was cited by Brewer, Brewer's Supreme Court statements. He's one of these justices. He said, we constantly speak of this republic as a Christian nation. In fact, as the leading Christian nation in the world, this popular use of the term certainly has significance. It is not mere creation of imagination. It is not a term of derision, but has a substantial basis, one which justifies its use. Brewer then spends 26 pages, convincingly supporting his claim with historical evidence of our whole founding and who we are as a people. He went on to say, in no charter or constitution, talking about the state constitutions, is there anything to even suggest that any other than the Christian is the religion of this country? In none of them is Mohammed or Confucius or Buddha or any manner noticed. In none of them is Judaism recognized other than by way of toleration of its special creed. While the separation of church and state is often affirmed, there is nowhere a repudiation of Christianity as one of the institutions as well as benedictions of society. In short, there is no charter or constitution that is either infidel, agnostic, or anti-Christian, at least not until today, right? Whenever there is a declaration in favor of any religion, it is of the Christian religion. He goes on to say more, in fact. I think you're getting the point, though, that this is and was a Christian nation. And at least that's the foundation for most of our people, whether you're Catholic or Protestant, or, and even if you are agnostic, or even, well, let's put it this way, which is a way of saying that you don't believe that there's a God, but you're really afraid to say it just in case there is. I guess that's the best way of explaining an agnostic. You still have to have some sort of standards of how you live. And what are they? Do you believe it's right to kill people for no reason? Is it right to defend the weak or have laws that defend the weak or defend the people that are righteous? I want you to think about this for a moment. Look at Seattle, Portland, Chicago, New York City, just for, and, you know, just take a look at these just those states, or I should say those cities. And you find in there, not only are there, you know, you say protesting. By the way, there's a scam on the protesting. Let me tell you, they're violent. They're destroying property. They're setting fires. There's arson. They're destroying businesses of people. Now, I want you to think about this. How can we do business as a society if there is no order, if there is no standard, if it's okay because you're angry about when somebody did someplace else and abused, and as a case in the Lloyd case where Mr. Lloyd was suffocated, or certainly he was killed by the actions of that police officer. What has that got to do with burning down buildings in Chicago and ruining businesses? What has it got to do with looting? Not a single thing. And the Lloyd family made that clear. They didn't want this kind of stuff done in the name of their father, their brother, their son. So when you think about these things, these are anarchists. This is nothing but trouble. This is what it is. It's a revolution. Don't make up. Don't think anything else. This is not good. So having said that, let's move on to what else. A few more things that Justice Brewer had to say. He said, "You will have noticed that I have presented no doubtful facts." In other words, you can't doubt anything that he said. Nothing has been stated which is debatable. The quotations from charters are in the archives of the several states. The laws are on the statute books. Judicial opinions are taken from the official reports, statistics from the census publications. In short, no evidence has been presented which is open to question. And that was part of the argument against this Americans United, who wanted to claim it wasn't a Christian nation. They couldn't produce any evidence against that. And then he went on in closing, he said this, two things. I could show you how largely our laws and customs are based upon the laws of Moses and the teachings of Christ. How constantly the Bible is appealed to as the guide of life and the authority of questions and morals. And then he closes with this simple statement. This is a Christian nation. If you went to do a study of Brewer's judicial career, you could hardly lead anyone to conclude that he was an obscure Supreme Court justice. He is obscure only to those who reject his Puritan sense of character and obligation. In other words, they don't like what he says, so then they discount him. And that's what happens today. If you don't agree with people, certain people, then they try to shame you. They beat you up on the internet. They have a whole bunch of things that they want to do to you, but they want to silence you. And that is the way society has become. If you take a look at the censorship we have had, even in this COVID situation that we're in, it's crazy. In other words, who now is determining what you can read and what you can't read? There was a lot of different opinions on a number of things. And then you have Google, Facebook. They're your new gods. A bunch of lefties out there that are censoring what you can read and what you can't read. You have the news media doing pretty much the same thing. You know, it always did that in some cases. If you go back to the days of Edward R. Murrow, at least today, you have an internet. And sometimes you just got to get this stuff before they take it off. Now, everything you read on the internet obviously isn't true. But anyway, that was then, and now it's now. What's been happening now in the country? And the things that are changing right now, does that, can America now be called a Christian country? Remember that I started this whole group of programs because I really was taking on President Obama and his statement of, this is not a Christian nation. He just stands up one day and just says, it's not a Christian nation. He also said some other things, like if it came to a choice between Christianity and Islam, I'd come down on the side of Islam. He also appointed 55 members of the Muslim Brotherhood, which is a Muslim Christian anti-American sect, to a group of people to the Security Council. They've all since been removed, but that's just to give you an idea. You know, sometimes when you're talking about people, like you got an election coming up and you're thinking about who is Biden appointing? So you got ACO, and then you have Beta Rock. So what is he? He wants to take away your guns. What does she want? Green New Deal. Get rid of energy. Well, tell me, I don't know how you're going to heat your houses, but we got a lot of energy here that God gave us in this country. We really do, the most in the world. And he didn't put it here so that it would languish. It's here that we can use it cleanly, efficiently, and inexpensively. And that we can live our lives and we can produce and we can be, pursue life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But once again, can America be called a Christian nation now? So I'm taking a lot of stuff here from American Vision. It's a group that's headed up by Gary DeMar. Great. I'll put it this way. He's an excellent writer. Not only that, but the researcher. And his stuff, if you go on that site to AmericanVision.org, and that's what www.AmericanVision.org, there's a lot of interesting stuff on there. If you're into government, if you're into philosophy, if you're into Christianity and debates and all of this other stuff, there's a ton of stuff there, and I suggest you support that organization. So what about now? That's what we're talking about now. And I want to say that that while the majority of Americans tenuously or firmly hold on to the remnants of a biblical moral order, there's no doubt that the memory is fading quickly. We're losing sight of who we are as a people. This is not something that's happened that's new. I'll go back into the time of Israel and Assyria, if I can go back in the Bible to there. So what did Assyria do? One of the things that it did was it was a very brutal people. I mean, as brutal as you can get. And they were attacking Israel. And where they came in and where they defeated Israel in various places, these are the things that they did. And here's what God said about it. These things I hate about them. One, they salt the land. They cut open the stomachs of pregnant women. That's two. And three, they burn the bodies of the dead. Now, why does he come against those things? Because you see, People are important to God. God created us in his image and likeness. And when you start thinking about why his anger towards, and he did judge the Assyrians and they disappeared as a nation, as a matter of fact, as a people. And the interesting thing about that is that even in years past, people would say, well, you see, the Bible says there were these Assyrians, there were none. And then I don't know if it's back in the 30s someplace, they see these mounds out there in the desert and they start digging it up. And there it is, all of their cities that were buried, a culture that once existed that now has totally disappeared. The Bible always winds up being right in the long run, my friends. You just have to watch it. There's no debate between science and the Bible. I want you to know that. So the memory, our memory's fading quickly. So what were the Assyrians doing? Well, they were trying to eradicate this people. They had no place to go. The land was salted. They couldn't come back. They were trying to remove the memory of their existence. That was the goal that they had. And you know, the Nazis did the same thing. We'll call it this way. Group after group, communists, etc., did the same thing. They want to eliminate the past history. You call it the cancel generation. Think about it. What do they want to cancel? They want to cancel out the roots. They want to destroy them. Why? So that you have no heritage. You don't know who you are. You think that you're just in this society and what you see is what you have, and it always existed. Let me tell you, no, it didn't exist. It was purchased with blood, sweat, and tears. And as we look at these things, the shift in America's moral foundation has taken place. Just as the overwhelming evidence that America was founded as a Christian nation, there's ample evidence right now. Right now, we can look at this, that there's a conscious effort to abandon that heritage in our education and legal system. You think of it this way. How many things have I said in the last week and a half that are new to so many people? How could it be new when it's our history? Because it's been expunged. It's been removed. People don't want you to know where you come from. They don't want you to know that you came from great stock, that you came and you have a heritage like no other nation in the world, that you're a people that are special. You're a people that are unique. You are a different race. When you come to this country, when you accept the roots of your foundation here, become an American, one of the goals that they have, and we've had over the nation, over the years of this nation, the 200 plus years of our nation here, is that we would become a people. That was Washington's hope. That's my hope today, that we would recognize that we are a unique people. Nobody has to go and apologize for us to the Europeans or anybody else. We don't need apology tours by any president. We need presidents that stand up, not presidents that bow before Saudi kings, but presidents that stand up and stand for America and for what's right, that stand for faith, for family, for freedom. That's the kind of people that we need. And we have less and less of them in this nation. Every time you turn around, there's more compromises made, and the compromises are generally going in the wrong direction. And I can tell you right now, after we get done with this educational system that you have now, the things that are removed. I'm going to tell you some of the things that have been removed and removed quite recently. There's not one history book, not one, on American history which you can pick up and read and believe that it's true. Seriously, that is such a sad state of affairs. It's a revisionist viewpoint. Let us make them out that they came from bad people. They came from slave owners. They came from people who were abusers. Were there people like this in the country? Yes, there were. And you know what? They went to war and they lost. And freedom was given to slaves. And they became citizens with us. Doesn't matter what color your skin is. It doesn't matter what your national origin is. If you come and you accept and become part of the American fabric, that's what you become, an American. I often tell the story of how I became an American at what, 6, 7 years old? And I came from both Italian and Polish origin. And when my dad was, you know, out with me and I'd mess up, do something, I'd get it right. My dad was a perfectionist, man. I had to get it just exactly right. Otherwise, it was wrong. He'd say, "You dumb Polack, what's the matter with you? Here's how you do it." And if he wasn't around and I was with my mom and I messed up, she'd say, "Stupid guinea, why are you doing that?" And then one day I watched this TV program. We had the first TV on the block. And it was about how you could come to this country, no matter where you came from, and you could now be something different. You could be an American. And I can still remember, because I remember even that table, that chrome table back in the, I don't know when it was, 40s, 50s, I'm not sure now. But I walked into that kitchen, it would be in the 40s, and there was my mom and my dad standing on the other side of the table. And I looked up at them and I looked at my dad and I said, "I'm not a dumb Polack." And I looked at my mother and I said, "I'm not a stupid guinea." I said, "I am an American." You know, they never used those terms with me again. But in a way, that's the day I became an American. And then I watched it when they had these fights with Marciano and various things. And the guys would come up and there would be the Jewish doctor from downstairs, Uncle Charlie, Charles Abraham. I remember him and Ann Ida. I'll never forget those two. They were incredibly wonderful people. And he'd come up to watch the fights. He smoked cigars. I can remember Uncle Charlie and his cigars. And then we had the Italian guys and the Irish guys and everybody in that room there watching this fight through this 4-inch screen here with a magnifying glass in front of it. But let me tell you something. Those fights were started with the Pledge of Allegiance. Those men stood at attention. And they put their hands over their chest and they pledged. And they sang the Star Spangled Banner. And I want to tell you something, so did I. That's what I grew up with learning, respect for this nation and respect for one another. So I want to tell you something, it's good to be an American. But that doesn't mean that we have to let go of this country. Why should we? Why should we let go of what's good and grab onto something that we know that has failed in the past? Progressivism is nothing but a form of humanism, and humanism is a form of communism. Just go on the internet yourself at all. And once the humanist gets in power, the communist gets in power, the big government gets in power, little guy, you're squashed. You toe the line. You become a nation of tattletales, and fear comes into the midst of the nation. No, sir. Don't accept it, ma'am. Don't accept it, my fellow Americans. You're Americans. You stand up for what's right. It's going to cost us, but we need to stand up for what's right and do the right thing. And maybe you have to make a decision on that. What is right? What is right for you? Are you a follower of Christ? Are you an American? Are you a patriot? Or are you just one of these guys that goes along and says, "Well, so here we can go make money and buy a house and buy a car and buy a motorcycle and buy a boat. All that stuff's good. I mean, nothing wrong with that stuff." My whole point is that what it's all about? You know, one day you're going to have kids if you don't have them now. What kind of children are they going to be? Are they going to be people that contribute to the society? Are they going to be people that just suck off of it? Like so many government employees, like, for example, this, I'm kind of laughing at these ads with Jean Shaheen and how she's gotten the aid and you get this veteran to stand up there with them and talk about how he's gotten, it can go outside now and get help outside of the VA. Well, it was Donald J. Trump who took on the VA. Got ready and firing people out of there because they wouldn't service our vets. They wouldn't take care of them. It's Donald Trump that made it and pushed on the buttons to make it happen so that our vets can get the care that they so deserve. And they deserve it because they fought for it. Well, we're at the end of our program today. I hope you've been blessed. May God bless you. And I hope their juices are flowing. And those juices are good juices, that you're excited about Jesus and you're excited about America. God bless you till next time.